So in our sermons the last few weeks, we've been going through a sermon series, Church Beyond Expectations. And we've essentially been saying, we know that our relationship with our building, with our meeting times, with some of our normal ministries that we most associate with church has by necessity changed because of all of the circumstances that are happening in the world around us. And so while that can at sometimes be discouraging, we miss things and we can acknowledge all of that, we can also sort of lean into our experience and say, God, how are you speaking to us in these times? In what ways can we learn new lessons that we might not have had the opportunity to learn if these circumstances didn't give us a chance to have a new perspective, to see things a little bit different? And especially what can be valuable during that time is acknowledging that sometimes our associations of what church most is becomes especially tied to the building, to particular times, to particular types of activities. But we know that in Scripture and throughout history that our experience now is not the only experience of what church has meant for people, is not the only way that God binds people together and helps them be his hands and feet in the world. And so how can we look at all the ways that God has been with God's people, and we can take inspiration from that to find those foundational bedrock ideas of the type of community we are, the character of our relationships, the character of how we exist to connect with other people. So we've looked at stories of Noah and Jesus' disciples going out to do ministry and thought about how we can be altars where all of the experiences, positive and negative, of our lives are laid out and worked out relationally with God, but that those altars cannot just stay in one place, that we go to connect with people just as Jesus sent his disciples. We've looked at how a church has been a tent of meeting before, and that in a tent of meeting that it was spoken of for Moses especially, that we can meet God face to face just like we would interact with a close friend. And that holy friendship helps us not only connect with God, and that's a big part of what being the church is connecting God with that sense of friendship, but that friendship with God transforms all of our other relationships and friendships that we have with each other or those that would become our friends. How we're willing to be present with each other. How we're willing to give of our own resources and experiences and emotional support to have that deep, profound friendship be what marks our connections with others. And then last week we looked at what it means to be God's family, and how being a family can sometimes sound like it's very sweet and sentimental, and those positive experiences are a big part of being a family, but that also sometimes being a family is complicated and difficult, and we see even people's pain and struggles right in front of us in ways that we might not with acquaintances. But that when God binds our family together, that we can be a community where it's safe to do all of those things, to feel all of those things, to share all of those things with each other, and to have God help us bring transformation for each other, even through times of struggle, in addition to the faithfulness we have with each other in times of celebration. And this morning, our scriptures are some of the most profound times in the people of God's experience. When Jeannie read from Ezekiel, that's a time when the nations of Israel and Judah were being conquered by enemies from without. Their temple was actually even destroyed, and they were carried off to another country. And then in the New Testament, this is a time when Jesus' followers are beginning to scatter throughout the Roman world, sometimes forced by persecution, sometimes called out, they feel, by God to a special mission. But they're no longer just people following the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, a God of the Jewish people, the Israelites, but that they are feeling like what Jesus did allows access to God and a community to form between Jews and Gentiles. Anyone of any background and experience and any place in the world can have that access and connection to God. But this is sort of a new idea for them to enter into. And so when we have those times of transformation of our external circumstances, sometimes that allows us to see and understand things about God that we might not have seen before. See and understand things about being God's people that we might have locked ourselves away against before. for God's people in the Old Testament as they were carried off into exile. You can imagine the sense of defeat, discouragement, wondering if they had been abandoned or if their God was not strong enough to protect them. At that time, before this happened to them, God's people would have thought that God's presence was at least primarily, if not even exclusively, contained to the temple. Similarly, because there were so many gods that were believed by people around them, that there would have been a feeling like there's a competition, essentially, of strength between gods. And you feel like you have the strongest, best God if your country, if your nation is the strongest and is able to inflict itself on other nations. That's why nations would often go and knock down each other's temples, is to essentially demoralize people by saying, your God is not good enough. And so, would God's people be able to see, even if we are carried off to another country, is God still with us? Even if our temple is destroyed and we have been conquered, does that mean that we have a weak God, or does that mean that God is someone who is with those who feel weak, with those who feel marginalized, with those who feel oppressed, with those who feel like they are forgotten by those around them, and lifts them up no matter what their circumstances are? And a God that doesn't just want people to go around conquering each other and creating new victims, creating new people who are oppressed, creating new people that are marginalized because of your God, but that God wants to see all of that system, that way of treating each other, broken down, so that instead there would be peace and wholeness and wellness. Those are the very things that the prophets and that people of Israel began to learn in exile. And as we see with Ezekiel sharing that in the scripture this morning, reminding the people, God has been with you wherever you are and whatever circumstances you have as your sanctuary, your place of connection, your place of safety, your place of building strength. And going into the New Testament, we see that Jesus is speaking through Paul, and as people go out throughout the known world, they're having connections with people who are different than them. And is the idea that they will just make everyone else be exactly like them, or is the idea that God's Spirit will somehow create a new type of community that has room for everyone, despite their experience and background, and that new ideas and new understandings and new reconciliations and connections will be made possible by God's Spirit? And that's what Paul puts forward, that we are ambassadors, that we are people creating connection and reconciliation where there would have been difference and discord. The people of the early Roman world that Paul and the other disciples were going to would have known what it was to be an ambassador. But typically it would be a Roman ambassador going to a place that they had conquered or going to a place that was rising up and causing problems. And so the ambassador was there as a representative of, remember to stay in line. We're going to leverage, we're going to threaten, we're going to cajole, we're going to make it so that you don't push back anymore and that you remember that we're in charge and that you're not in charge, and that you have to set who you are aside in order to submit to us. So Ambassadors of Reconciliation takes this familiar picture of ambassadors, but flips the meaning. And so instead of pressure and encouraging submission, it's reconciliation and encouraging mutuality and new friendship and new identity together. I imagine we've probably all had times in our lives where we've had things that have shook up our own sense of self, our sense of our ability to connect with God, our sense of what it means to be the church, the same way that these circumstances that we see in Scripture did. On a lighter note, I know I remember going to college in Tallahassee, Florida, and realizing for the first time that I was really in the South when I went to the grocery store, and there was not just like a little section of like pickles and pickled peppers, but there was literally an entire aisle of like 40 or 50 items that were all pickled. Ones that I would never even have guessed that you could do that with, or that why you would think to do that in the first place. And so I had a sense of what was different around me and how I would need to fit into there a little bit differently. Similarly, when I moved out to California, I never really thought too much of being distinctly Midwestern with a particular identity that I would carry with me, and I would think about what that meant for myself. I sort of thought, you know, there's stereotypes of what people from the Northeast are like, what people from the South are like, what people from the West Coast maybe are like, but Midwestern, we just kind of like fit in there with not too much going on. But I realized as I had more interactions with people that for me, what being Midwestern came to mean that was in contrast with what I saw out West was that, you know, I was friendly, but not necessarily really gregarious. That I really wanted to have the things that I did speak for who I was and what I was about. I didn't necessarily try to trumpet that on its own. I wanted people to just see my work, see my effort, and that that would speak for itself more than anything else. And then on the West Coast, I found that there's more a culture of initiative in friendliness and connecting with people than I was used to. And there was more a culture of sort of putting yourself out there, of like, this is what I'm about. This is the talent that I have. This is the thing that I want to have happen. And while there were parts of me that might have felt like, oh, that's a little bit too self-promotional, like, I like being Midwestern and humble, there were also parts of me that realized that that could be too much of a value judgment and that there were things that I could learn from people I was connecting with being more outgoing in my friendliness, with being willing to show people ahead of time, this is the thing that I care about. And that that might help them trust me faster, that might help them join with me in something that I was doing, rather than just if I waited for, you know, eventually, hopefully in a few weeks, in a few months, you'll see something and have more of a sense of me. And so being able to learn from those connections can be a little bit about maybe what we see God's people experiencing during these times in Scripture, where they're in new places, having to have new conceptions of who God is and what God is up to. I've even seen this myself in church as well, and some of you have too. I started growing up when I was a kid in a Presbyterian church that was in form kind of similar to this, and then my family moved to a Vineyard church that was more based on a band and a little bit more casual dress and much longer kind of explaining types of sermons. And then as I've gone through my life, I've also had the chance to visit and spend time with churches of different ethnicities, black churches, African immigrant churches, Asian immigrant churches, churches that are more high liturgy with smells and bells, as they say, and everything else. And all of those things have helped me have an understanding of God and what it means to be the church, that if I had stayed in my one perspective and thought this is exactly the way that it is, I wouldn't have had that encounter and that expansion of my perception of who God is and how I can operate in the world. That's necessary, that I don't just think who I am contains all of the vastness of God and all of the inspiration of what it means to be a follower of God. So these experiences have been really shaping for me. I'm sure many of you have some experiences like that that come to mind as well. But this morning, to help really make it feel even more connected to people's experience, to have inspiration, I was trying to think of different illustrations or stories, and I realized that in some ways I'm not the best person to completely unpack this and think about all the ways that the church becomes this place of sanctuary that we carry with us and an embassy of reconciliation to connect with other people. But that my wife Wendy, with her experiences, sometimes that she spent in ministry here, but especially in missions overseas early in her life, would have some things that might be really inspirational that we can learn from for this. So I'm going to have us, again, with this idea of changing up our associations with church. We're going to move from the sanctuary. We're going to move from just my experience, and we'll go hear from Wendy about what her experience has been that helps us understand, again, the sense of sanctuary we carry with us as the church, an embassy of reconciliation. So you can see, oh, I'm hearing that we're not having very good sound. You can see that we are set up for hymnal distribution, and we'll come in here. This battery apparently is out. Hi, everyone. I heard that there was some sound that was going out. I think that the battery on the microphone may have gone down. So I'm taking us off of the normal microphone, and Wendy and I will both try to speak up for our thoughts right now. We'll do our best so that you can hear us for things going forward. Wendy, come on in. So first off, Wendy, I shared with everyone that you spent a lot of time doing missions when you were growing up. Can you tell us a little bit more about what inspired you to do that and what your experiences were like?
Sure. So when I was in middle school, it's kind of when I started doing that stuff. And I really just wanted to, we had gone to an orphanage when I was in middle school in Mexico, and I saw the type of discrepancy of like wealth and resources that people had. We were putting in a sewer system in an orphanage. So it made me very interested to sort of travel and to do things that helped others in need. And honestly, that's kind of what motivated me, and to do that from my faith, because that's what was motivating me to want to do that in the first place.
In what ways did you feel like God's presence could be with you even when you went into very different places? Maybe you can share some of the countries, very different experiences, people with very different backgrounds. How did you feel like you might be carrying God's presence with you?
So I did go every summer until college to some other country, and they were all very different, it's true. I think that I, the things that I encountered, you know, sometimes you are being sent out to bring Jesus to, you know, some group or some mission opportunity. Like, for example, the first place I went after that Mexico trip when I was younger they gave you the book to pick where you wanted to go, and I was 15, and I wanted to pick the most exotic and beautiful-sounding place. So I went to Fiji, I know. But what was interesting is in that trip, you know, what we actually did there was we were building a physical, well, helping to build a physical building that had been destroyed by a hurricane. And it was two different churches that existed on this island, this small island. They had an Assemblies of God church, and they had, I think it was Methodist, but I'm not sure. But I remember it was two separate denominations, and one was Assemblies of God. And they were building a physical building where they would worship and use the space together, and they never had had that before. And so that was very interesting, just being a part of that as a young person. And also just seeing the different culture and the way that people treated you. And it was extremely different, you know, living on an island with no electricity. It was just very different than where I had, you know, how I had grown up. And it caused me to think, you know, a lot more, to be able to consider my life in comparison to, you know, what other folks around the globe encounter, and that, and how they live. And it really caused me to be a lot more critical and a lot more thoughtful and reflective about, you know, how my faith and, you know, my culture and things, which really drew me towards some other type of things as I grew on later in my life.
So in thinking about your own experience in your faith, what that meant for what you were doing and encountering other people, are there some things that as you went through those experiences and then reflected back on them, or that you reflect back on them now, where you feel like understanding the meaning of church, maybe you've even grown in what that means compared to what the organizations you went with, what is often associated with missions, or even what you were doing at the time? How has God continued to shape your understanding of church in connecting with people, being an ambassador, being a sanctuary?
So when I, you know, I went to a lot of places in Southeast Asia, to India, Nepal, Thailand, and I saw, like, I felt like when we were being commissioned out to these places and sent out, it felt like, you know, there are these people over there that we're supposed to go, you know, like save or become a certain kind of way. It's kind of implied, and some of it was overt. I feel like what I realized when I was reflecting on all of these things is, and reading scripture about, I think the things that struck me the most was God's presence with the poor and the marginalized, and also recognizing my own relative, my own relative privilege and comfort, financially in many ways, but education-wise and other things. And instead of thinking like that gave me all this, that because of that I should be going all over the world and making people, you know, trying to help people engage something that we had. It was almost like cultural, you know, you think about how, you know, in scripture it talks about, you know, the kingdom of God is with the poor, and it's like this whole idea of like the upside down kingdom. And I felt like really as I got older, the more it was that I was like, you know, I'm here to really try to learn from others and to see God and encounter Christ who hung out with the people who are marginalized and people who society and the church didn't particularly welcome, you know, with prostitutes and tax collectors and, you know, people that everybody wanted to judge and say that, you know, they're not worthy or they're not clean enough to come into, you know, the temple or whatever. And, you know, Jesus himself was quite focused on that and spoke very clearly about that. And I think that when I started going to college and when I was thinking about what I wanted to do and where God had placed me and, you know, here in the United States, I felt like, you know, part of what it means to continue this is to try to be going to those groups that our society would say is not worthy. They're easily marginalized or taken advantage of or despised. That's kind of how I got involved in the type of work I did with, it brought me in when Rob was in seminary, you know, working for an organization that was trying to help people who were really low wage workers have protections and better quality jobs and immigrants, like learning their stories of how they're coming to this country, lots of times just for physical safety or economic security, and trying to understand how systems impact people in a way that could help bring and protect their dignity and their rights as well. So it helped me learn, like, you know, it's not just about going and bringing somebody something that is low income and being like, here is something to help you, although that's really a good thing to do, but also trying to understand we're all connected and how does my faith and my call and my life intersect with this person, and are there ways that we can help ease the burdens off of people or ways that they're being marginalized or discriminated or held down from being able to live a full potential of their life. That God would have us, you know, live the fullness of that. And so that's the kind of work I do. You know, I work with people coming out of prison. I've worked with people who have different levels of documentation in this country. I've learned a lot about just different groups that are being you know, struggle in this country. Different people of different races and different nationalities of different, you know, criminal records, and how God is present in that. It's been really part of my faith journey.
Yeah, I really appreciate how you kind of talked about how those experiences when you were growing up with missions and ministry away from this country, you were able to bring back and change your perspective about what faith looks like to be lived out, what being the people of God is like in terms of how we connect with each other, who's included, who's not included, the types of things that we do in addition to our normal worship and study, what ministry can look like to be ambassadors, to prioritize reconciliation, to try to have sanctuary. I'm curious if you could give us one last reflection. I know a lot of the things that you work on in trying to have faith be a voice of seeing people's whole lives change, that we want them to have an encounter with God, but that when all of us have an encounter with God, as we see in Scripture, we're often motivated to make sure that everyone has security and stability and wellness and wholeness of the whole person, that God cares about that and wants to see that transformed too. But a lot of the things that you work on, it's not like you can do something for a couple weeks and then there's a very easy solution and the problem is just solved. Like, these are things that have gone on for generations, and that take a lot of faithfulness and a lot of God's continued work with us. For the idea of sanctuary in particular and how sanctuary can be carried with us, that God is our sanctuary even in a dark time like we saw in Ezekiel, how have you seen and experienced that in your work that maybe that's especially relevant for?
The things that I'm talking about are it's true. There are things that have been through generations, but we've seen changes in this country over generations. I think sometimes it's easy to feel like, you know, when you're working on something that's very systemic and very layered, and you know, I feel it can be very difficult, can be very draining. So having community with others, not only like other people of faith, to be able to sustain your hope and your vision, but also community with people who are directly impacted, right, your co-workers together. It really is part of that process that I think is so critical, that I'm really part of something that's much bigger than myself. And you know, we have stories in Scripture where, you know, Moses would say, you know, I'm not going to see the promised land. Dr. King has that famous speech, you know, I may not get there, you know. And I think just being able to see yourself in light of a larger story, which is really what Scripture also does for us. You know, we have stories over a course of many, many generations, and trying to take comfort in that and being able to trust that God is doing His work through us. It's not just through me, but it's through a bunch of people. And to me, that's really what a church is about.
Thanks so much for sharing all that, Wendy. I hope, even though we may not all be going to different countries anytime soon, our individual work may not feel like it's as directly connected to outward ministry like Wendy's, is that we can hear, all of us, in this story that she shares, things that we can connect to with our sense of who else do we have in our networks that we interact with, that we can give God's sanctuary to, especially when they feel like they're kind of on the outs or they're going through a dark time. How can we know that God is with us, especially when we're separated from our normal associations of church and our normal interactions, that we can take that hope with us as well? And especially right now, as we think about being God's community together, I hope that we could take encouragement from the extreme circumstances that we heard about for God's people in Ezekiel, that we heard about for the early church as they went throughout the Roman world. We kind of have our own type of extreme circumstance now where we have the opportunity to have creativity and learn more about God and what it means to connect with God, to connect with each other through God's Spirit, and to be God's people under unusual circumstances. And so how can we continue to be creative with each other and encourage each other? I would encourage you, even in comments or in emails to me, to share what are the ideas that you are coming up with. How can we also use this time to actually specifically refresh our perspectives of what is normal, even when we come back, just like Wendy came back from other countries and renewed and refreshed her perspective of being a Christian, of living out her faith, of joining with other people to be God's family. How can we, even when we get access to normal interaction, to normal use of our building, to normal ministry, have this new perspective that we've gained during this time reshape and refresh who we are and what we do and how we use all of these resources, rather than thinking that things will just be exactly the way they were? We want to learn from what God shows us during this time. And lastly, in particular, I think one of the things that we're continuing to see during this time is that there are people who are especially impacted by the coronavirus that we're going through right now and whose margins are less, who even have small coronaviruses happen in their families all the time, with people getting sick and that cost debilitating their family, feeling isolated and wondering if they have any connection. It doesn't just happen now, that happens all the time. And there are people who, even from what's happening now, are more impacted than others, and that might be forgotten in the types of responses that we try to do. And so in light of that, how can we as people, especially being people who carry God's sanctuary with us and who try to be ambassadors who are mindful of everyone's circumstances and that prioritize reconciliation, how can we be voices to make sure those who are marginalized are not forgotten right now and that have people reaching out to them and speaking up for them and connecting with them, especially if they're more impacted disproportionately just because of their health background, their age, the color of their skin, what their job is or not. That we're mindful of that and responsive to that, and that also, even when we get on the other side of this, that we remember that these types of problems are there for everyone all the time, just in different ways. And so can we learn from what we had now in our reconciliation, help us reach out to the isolated, help us care for the people who would be marginalized otherwise. And so as we wrap up now, and we'll go and enjoy Vicky's postlude, I offer you a blessing of how you carry with you in your soul, in your heart, no matter where you go and no matter what circumstances you're in, God is with you and will be your sanctuary. That's something that you carry with you to other people. May that help you be an ambassador of reconciliation. May God, being your sanctuary, no matter where you are, what's happening, help you see the ways that you can bring reconciliation, the ways that you can bring healing, the ways that you can lift up those who are forgotten, with a whole new perspective because of the way that God is with you no matter where you are. Go in grace and peace this week. And again, we'll enjoy our music ministry now.